Starting to record. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we're going to talk about the name of Allah al-Wakil. That al-Wakil means the one whom we depend on. The one that we depend on. So, or al-Wakil, the one whom, the one that we depend on. Okay, did you hear this word from your friends or from your parents? Tawakkul, nitwakkil ala Allah means depend on Allah. Nitwakkil ala Allah, because Allah is the wakil. Okay, let me ask you a question. If you are a Muslim and you studied chemistry, you didn't study chemistry, for example, you didn't study for the chemistry test. And another guy who's whatever religion is he, let's say atheist or pagan, you worship idols, studied well for the chemistry test. Who's going to get A and who's going to get F? Yeah. He or she will get A. On the other hand, the other one will get what? F. The Muslim will get an F. Now, the Muslim dependent on Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I depend on you. Before going to the test, would he still get an F or would he get a good grade?
Still get an F.
Still get an F. Then what do you mean that I depend on Allah? He depended on Allah. Still get an F?
Because he relied solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We rely on Allah subhanahu to decide what would be best for us, and we know that we are in his hands, but we should do our own part to do the best we can in this life. Like, for
example, we stick
our hand into the fire,
and before we do it, just a second before we say,
Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please do not let our hand get burned,
put
our hand to it, and it got burned.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So basically, depending on Allah requires you to do your homework. Requires you to do what?
Your homework.
Once you do your homework, then you depend on Allah for tawfiq. So steps of depending on Allah. One, you do your part. Which is, do your homework. That's the first step. And then the second step is, depend on Allah for tawfiq. Thank you. Then you depend on Allah, okay, to make your effort successful. Did I spell successful right?
No.
No, I want only one. Good. Successful. So, you depend on Allah to make your effort successful. So, you have to do your part first. I'll give you an example. Some people want Allah to do everything, including their share. So they don't want to do anything. Yes. Does that say that they believe in the name al-Wakil?
Not really.
Not really. But in order to make tawakkul, okay, number one, you have to do your part. Number two, you depend on Allah to make your effort successful. I'll give you an example. At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there were a lot of lazy people laying down in the masjid waiting for charity to eat and drink. So Umar radiallahu anhu told them, hey, you guys are laying around and you're not working for your food, you live in a charity, they say, we are depending on Allah to provide us food. We are depending on Allah to provide us food. Guess what did he do? No, he beat them up.
Oh.
He beat them up with his stick. And he said, you're not dependent on Allah. You are pretending to depend on Allah. You go, do your share, and make and pray to Allah to make your effort successful. This is what depending on Allah means. The Prophet ﷺ has a very, very, very famous hadith about that. There was an Arabian guy who just embraced Islam, who's dragging his camel behind him, and then he's going to... So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him something. Who remembers this hadith? The hadith of the camel. Where the guy came to the masjid of the Prophet dragging a camel behind. Yes.
Jesus left the camel there and he said, I give trust in Allah that...
I depend on Allah.
I depend on Allah that the camel will run away. But the Prophet said, no, you have to tie it up because you need to do your part.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's a very, very, very famous hadith. It will be a shame on you if you really don't know it. Because it sets a very important principle. Which is the guy, yes, which is the guy who dragged the camel before behind him. And then he left the camel at the door without tying the leash. And then he entered the masjid of the Prophet. So the Prophet asked him, why didn't you tie the leash? He said, I am depending on Allah to guard my camel. He said, no, you tie the leash and then depend on Allah. Okay. Why? What is the job of Allah? What's the job of Allah if I'm going to tie the leash?
Make sure that it's coming.
Yes, makes your effort successful. What is your objective? For you to not to lose the camel, right?
Yeah.
You can tie the camel with a leash and still use it, lose it. How?
Untie it.
Yeah, the camel keeps pulling and then he runs away with it. A thief will cut the rope and run away with the camel. There are so many possibilities that you lose your camel. So here we go. I did my part, a leash to my camel. Okay? And if I live in a town that has a lot of thugs and thieves, then I'm going to guard my camel. And then depend on Allah to make my effort successful. So basically, we have two jobs. We have two jobs. One job are for the muscles. So, for your homework, using your brain and muscles. So you use your brain and muscles. So you use your brain and muscle to do what? So you do your homework using your brain and muscles and depend on Allah to make your effort successful. This means tawfiq. This is called tawfiq, which is by the heart, using the heart. See what I'm saying here? So you depend on Allah to make your effort successful. It's called tawfiq. So tawfiq means you can see this tawfiq is the name. Like your brother name is tawfiq, your friend name is tawfiq, your cousin name is tawfiq. You heard? Do you know anybody whose name tawfiq?
Nope. Now I do.
So anyway, it's a name that's used. Meaning that may Allah make your effort successful. This is called tawfiq. And it has to do to using your heart. Okay, now let's say you bought, you did your work, you did your brain, you used your muscle to make a study and buy stock. And you buy this stock for $50.
Stock?
Okay, stock.
Oh,
stocks.
Is basically a market share where you buy this part of the company, and if the company has a high percentage of profits, then the amount of stock that you got in the company, the amount that you invest in, you get that part of the amount of the shares and profits.
That's right. They divide the company into, let's say, 1 million stock, and then you buy as much as you want. If the price goes up, you're a winner. If the price goes down, you're a loser. Okay? So here, look at that. If you buy, if Allah doesn't want to grant you tawfiq, and you buy, you do your work and buy the stock for $50, guess what's going to happen? You are going to sell it, the stock will go down, and you're going to sell the stock for $40, and you have a loss of $10 in every stock. If Allah grants you tawfiq, then you buy the stock on $50, then you sell it on $60, and you make the difference. And you get the difference, cash, or like the profit. You get the profit out of this transaction. Another example, if you buy a house and you want to sell it, if Allah wants to grant you tawfiq, then you buy the house at, let's say, 100,000 and you sell it, or 1 million, and you sell it 1.2 million. But if Allah takes away the tawfiq, then you buy the house of 1 million, then you sell the house of 800,000. So the price of your home goes down. This is all in the hands of Allah. You got it? So it doesn't mean that you did your work that you're going to be successful. Absolutely not. Allah could grant you tawfiq or take away tawfiq from you. So now let's learn this from the story. There is something called probability of failure. Lack of tawfiq is probability of failure. Of failure. Probability of failure. Probability, go ahead.
I-P-R-O-B-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y.
Okay, you need to start from the beginning, slowly. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
R-O-B-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y.
Okay. Thank you, dear. So, probability of failure. What is the probability of failure? It means that you did your homework, did your part, but still fail. So everything, yes, exactly. Everything, probability of failure means lack of tawfiq. Lack of tawfiq. It is lack of tawfiq. You still do your homework, you still do your job, but you fail. A very good example of that is Titanic. Do you guys know about Titanic?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what happens to Titanic? It was the biggest...
I just wanted to say that the team needs to update the wiki space for homework.
Okay. So, what is the... what is the story of Titanic? Go ahead.
It was on the maiden voyage. It was so big, nobody ever thought, sorry, that it would crash. But then it rammed into some iceberg, and it was a giant hole. And there weren't enough lifeboats for everyone, so it happened to
die. Yes. So that's the very quickly what happened. But let's analyze it. It was built, it was designed by the best engineer in the world. He built, and he says, I built the largest moving object in this universe, which is this huge, big, humongous boat. It's just like a humongous boat.
It's a
You know, you might need like a car to move from one place to another. Well, of course not, but it's a big, humongous boat. And the most rich people in Europe went on this boat as a cruise, the first cruise. And then they got all the jewelry, gold and stuff like that with them. So guess what happened? The guy, the engineer, before the boat leaves the harbor, he says, even God can't sink that thing. Mm-hmm. He said, even God can't sink it. The boat is made of steel, iron, steel. You know what I mean? Steel, like it's not wood. It's a very strong steel.
Metal,
yeah. Which is iron, basically. The treated iron gives you steel. So now he said, even God can't sink it. So what did he say? Even God can't sink it. All right? So did he do the best job he can with his brain muscles? Yes. He used the latest technology into building this moving ship. Okay? So he was so proud of the amount of technology, and then he said, even God can't sink it. So what happened to him? Oh, I'm not sure. This is how Allah got him. Allah got him from something called probability of failure. Look how what happens. You know, the boat is made of metal or iron or, you know, steel, which is a metal thing. Okay? So basically, to connect blades of steel together, how do you do that? You bring the first, you know, piece, board of steel, and then you bring the second board of steel, and you connect them using something called rivet. Yeah, rivet. Okay? So this is how you connect them. So you got, if I may make you see it like that. Here's what? Here's one plate. Here's the second plate. They overlap. How do they connect them? Huh? How? Rivets. Like a frog. Rivets. It is rivets. Okay, here. Along this side. So, now, the captain of the boat felt very confident. So, he was going in a speed higher than the permitted speed. And, because of Allah wanted this to happen, he happens to hit an iceberg in the area where these rivets were bad. You know the possibility of rivets being bad?
R-I-V-E-T.
Yeah, you're right. You know the possibility that these rivets are bad? It's very low, it's a possibility. Why? Because they take random samples. They take what? Random sample and test them to make sure they all work. And they did that, and all the rivets really were made very well. Really very well. However, because of Allah, well, they happened to use bad rivets without knowing. And the place where the bad rivets are, it's the place where the iceberg was hit. It's the speed higher than the permissible speed. And this is where things were destroyed. The amount of jewelry that went down, synced with the people, which is the most rich people in Europe, was like a lot of jewelry, like a lot of money. Okay? And the people were the best, not the best, the most rich people, the most rich people in Europe. Now, going back to the story of depending on Allah. If you want Allah to make your effort successful, you wouldn't say, even if God can't sink it. He challenged God and God taught him a lesson. Taught him a lesson. That it's not that you're smart. It is because I grant you tawfiq. Here is a situation where I didn't grant you tawfiq and your efforts failed. You see here the point? Now, you can see. Did you hear about the people when the child is sick? They don't take the child to a doctor or a hospital. And they say, Allah gave this disease to the child. Then Allah is going to, we depend on Allah to take it away. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So they keep the boy until probably the boy dies, or I don't know what happened to the boy at the end. But here is this claim. What's wrong with this claim? What's wrong that my child is sick? Allah is the one who made him sick. I depend on Allah to cure him. What's wrong with this? It's 10:30 or 11?
Oh no, older kids aren't supposed to go yet. I just finished my Quran class.
Okay. So.
After Garner's was there.
No, after Hajj.
No!
I haven't been to Hajj yet.
Yeah, that's why you're not going to get food yet.
Wow,
I'm going to go.
I'm probably going to go for 4 years.
So the guys who have sick child, one says, I depend on Allah. I'm not taking him to a doctor. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this statement? What's wrong with that? Exactly. Do you know this sounds like what? This sounds like telling Allah, wash my dishes. I depend on you to wash my dishes. Vacuum my room. I depend on you to vacuum my room. What is that? Well, what you want to do is like you want to vacuum the room and then pray to Allah that
it's clean.
It's clean. Allah made it clean, makes it clean. Because you can vacuum the carpet, and then suddenly your brother coming in with all this messy stuff and he messes everything up. So that is lack of tawfiq. Or you start vacuuming and then the vacuum goes down, like breaks. Okay, breaks down. So the bottom line here is that it is not right to depend on Allah to do your work. Allah helps when you do the best of your ability, using the best available methods available to you. So if you do your best, if you do what? Your best, and there's nothing else you can do, then Allah will provide you with a special miracle. You got it? You understand that? If you reach to the level of desperate, level of what? Desperate. So nobody gets a miraculous help or special help unless this person becomes what? Desperate. That's it. There's nothing that this person can do. That's it. That's the end of the story. Okay. Now, the other extreme is the one who says, I depend the doctor, the doctor, and medicine. Okay, this is the other extreme. He says, you ask this person, oh, you depend on Allah for tawfiq. He says, no, I don't depend on Allah at all. So, how do you expect your child to be cured? Well, because the doctor is so good and the medicine works well. Huh? So, he puts his faith in the doctor and the medicine. Now, these extreme, both of them are wrong. Both of them are what? Wrong. Too much dependence on Allah or zero dependence on Allah. It's either 100% here, this is here 100%, or 0%. It's like 100% or 0%. Now, the Muslims are where? Are the middle people. The middle people is, let's see, take your child. To a doctor, and depend on Allah for tawfiq.
So the first thing you should do is first do whatever is in your power, and then do whatever the people's power. Here on like earth, because they could be doctors, surgeons, there's like a whole bunch of other people, and then you can depend on Allah because you've done everything in your power to like do this person, and now it's up to Allah whether it works or not. You see, you see the whole idea here.
So you depend on Allah. How many people Allah and his, it's completely in the hands of Allah to make your effort successful or not. How many people, if Allah doesn't want to grant you tawfiq, you open a business, you bankrupt and you go out of business. You buy a home, you sell it at a lower price. You get a job, you get fired. You know, there is so many things that can go wrong. Why? Because Allah doesn't want you to grant you tawfiq. Allah doesn't want you to be rich. This is a decision that Allah has made. Why, by the way, Allah doesn't want people to be rich? Because some rich people, if they become poor, they will not be good Muslims. And some poor people, if they become rich, then they will become not good Muslims. So Allah decides about that based on His wisdom and knowledge. So it doesn't matter how much you try, you're always going to end up what? Failure. You'll always have failure at the end. Alright? So, this is what we come to at the very end. Do you understand? Depending on Allah means what? Allah's not going to do your vacuum. Allah's not going to do your dishes. Okay? You need to do them and then depend on Allah for tawfiq. If Allah wants to make you rich, easy. You start a business, it does well. You buy stocks low, you sell them high. You buy your home low, you sell your home high.
She's writing on white paper.
She was working on it in class, so now I'm erasing the paper.
I didn't get one.
So here we go. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You got it? You got that? Now let's see. Then there is another concept called desperate, the desperate people. To get miraculous help, you need to be reached to the level of being desperate. What is the meaning of desperate? Zainab, what's the meaning of desperate?
Oh.
Giving up to the enemy, like
Can I say when you run out of things to do? Can I say when you run out of things to do? Like there's nothing you can do. You took the kid to the doctor fails to diagnose the disease. So no, that's a new one. So you get the idea? There is a concept called desperate. And tell me how to spend desperate. Lena.
Yes.
Write desperate on the board.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my god!
No, 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 no.
You're so evil.
You're not doing your part. Desperate. Desperate means you run out of things to do. You run out of things to do. You have done everything you can do. You have done what? Everything you have you can do. Then what happens?
You ask Allah.
Then Allah will give you miraculous help. Then Allah will give you miraculous help.
He's going to lose air like that.
Then, no, what are you doing?
Oh,
no, no, leave it because we're going to grade it.
I'm going to put it away.
No, we didn't record the grade yet.
No, that's her. She's not even in her honor, but she was trying to do her homework
class. Get away!
No.
Pass
it. Be desperate.
Did she get the grade recorded?
She's not in your honor class. She was just doing her homework, and she wants it back.
So
I'm
not going to give
it back.
Put
it away! You said that last time. I caught you three times.
Leave her, and warn me if she does this again. All right, so let's...
Desperate.
Oh, yeah.
What
did you recently
have? Desperate. Because I'm starting to tilt.
Because I have a habit.
It's still tilting.
Okay, desperate means you run out of things to do. You run out of things to do. Then Allah will step in with miraculous help. So this is the difference between you as a believer and non-believers. You as a believer, okay, if you run out of things to do, Allah will help you get out of it. But if you fail, or fall short in doing the things that you can do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to step in with miraculous help for you. Got it? Alright, let's see this at the life, at the project of Hijra, that the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Now, you might say, Prophet Muhammad would say, I am the Prophet of who? Of Allah, right? And He will give me special treatment. So I don't have to plan for the Hijrah. I can just walk out there and walk towards Medina. And Allah is going to protect me from the bad guys, the Arab lords who are trying to kill me. You got it? So...
Wake up.
Can you take notes?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
He's going on the top of your notes.
So, all right, so here we go.
Okay.
Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a very good plan. What was the plan of the Prophet? The first item in the plan was, where is Medina from Mecca? Is it north or south? Medina is south of Mecca, right? What would you guess the trick that Prophet Muhammad did? Huh? He started traveling what?
Yeah.
south. Like if this is Mecca, this is Medina. And this is Mecca. And this is Mecca. Write Mecca here. Yes. The Prophet supposed to start right here and go up. No, he started like this. He left in the opposite direction. Look how smart he is. He planned to He planned to leave from this from the southern direction. He travels towards the south. Why? Because when people figure out that Prophet ﷺ has immigrated, then what happens? All of them would run what?
North.
North, towards Medina. But the Prophet is traveling how? South. This way the distance between them gets larger and larger. It gives enough time for the Prophet to hide where? The cave. The cave of Hira or Thawr? That's not a true story. The story of the spider, by the way. Somebody made it up. Yeah.
Spider web?
Yeah, spider web. And the egg.
That's not real?
Yeah, no. What? Somebody made it up.
What?
Yeah. The story of the spider and the eggs are, is made up story.
How do you know?
There's no... it's not authenticated in the hadith. So if you flip all six hadith books, or nine hadith books, it does not exist in them. And nobody... Assalamu alaikum. I think somebody who has... You know, he is too, no, not crooked. He's too spiritual. He made it up. Hello, hello, hello. Got it? See, you see the smart plan? Then the second plan was what? The second item in the plan was what? The second item of the plan was to hide in the cave of Thawr, or the cave of Hira. Thou, that's right, means bull. So, now why did he hide? Why did he hide? Why didn't he just go straight to Medina in the opposite direction and then turns around and then goes to Medina like this? Why didn't he just went straight? Why did he have to wait in the cave? Just put the cave here somewhere.
The cave would be right there.
Huh? Exactly. Because everybody, in the first day, everybody's looking for him. 100% of the people looking for him. How about the second day? 20% will give up and 80% will be looking for him. How about the third day? 60% are looking for him and 40% are gives up.
What he's talking about is everybody was a reward set out for the Prophet. And so the Prophet decided to escape. And so everybody expected him to go north to Medina, but then he went south. He stayed at Cave Thawr. And then later on, when everybody gave up looking for him, he went north to go to Medina.
You know, one of the caves, which is Cave Hira in Mecca, when I was doing Hajj, it's very easy access. You don't hike that much. And then you get to the Ghar Hira. And they have Iqra, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Iqra. It's all written on the wall. Okay, guess what happens in the Cave of Thawr? The Cave of Thawr is 8 kilometers hiking up. It's extremely hard. I could not make it. Hiking up. 8 kilometers is like about 6 miles. 6 miles hiking up in the mountain.
I thought a kilometer, or those 2.5 kilometers in a mile.
1.6.
1.6.
Yeah, the mile is 1.6 kilometers. Okay. So, but you see the point here? You knew how much suffering he had to go through? You know how much suffering he has to go through?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, what is the third? What do you think the third plan? The third item in his plan. The third item in his plan is to make arrangements with the guide man. The arrangement with the guide man. They needed the guide man. Why? Because he will guide them to this route. Because they have not traveled through this route before. That's a route that nobody have used before. So they needed a guide man to help them out. So the Prophet made an arrangement with this guide man. Is that it? No. What else? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made an arrangement with... So this is number one, number two. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made arrangements for food to come in. Now, who brings him the food? Who knows?
You do.
No.
Yeah.
Asma bint Abu Bakr, the sister of Aisha, radiallahu anha. Asma bint Abu Bakr. You know Abu Bakr, the second man in the Muslim Ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr, he's not a messenger or a prophet. He's a normal guy, but he was the first. The second good Muslim in the Muslim Ummah. So, after the Prophet, go ahead.
Wait, the Prophets before Muhammad, were they like not part of the Ummah?
Because
not part
they
of the Ummah,
but they didn't have to pray before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like there was the thing about hijabs that existed from the beginning of mankind, but. As for everything else,
it was a different, law, or a
different like restrictions.
I'll give you an example: the fasting in the Jewish or the Christian tradition. The fasting means don't talk as well. So, no talking, no eating, no drinking.
Wait, and
what's this? This is the fasting in the. In the nation before us, the Jewish tradition or the Christian tradition. Huh? So, okay, now to answer here, the people of the previous prophets, okay, they are called, for example, the nation of Prophet Nuh. Now you raise your left hand. Raise your left hand like that for 5 minutes.
She was just answering a question.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's what I was doing in second period.
Oh, tomorrow is the day where if you fast for it, all of your sins from the last year will be forgiven, and all of your the sins for the year to come will be
forgiven. Yeah, here we go.
Darn it.
Wa alaikum assalam.
No.
Is it after or before? Okay.
You say still have to do the tablet. You get these little cards that say happy Eid that has the lyrics and it says MTAWR. That's so cool. Keep saying. And you'll just keep eating them.
They're
M&M's.
They're like.
They're M&M's. You can, like, if you go to my
M&M's. You said from mom an email that I did do the homework, but I did it and I sent it to the homework at zany.net.
Homework at zany.net?
Yeah. So I resent it to
okay.
you.
Yeah, I'm going to give you exactly half 100% credit.
Do
we collect this?
Oh no, this is hers. She was doing homework in class, so I decided to take it.
Oh good.
Because she keeps on taking it.
I got it. Okay.
Do you have
Hopefully she comes back for her.